You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Again, trying to be the voice of reason this Sunday. We hate to see all of the tension in the MAGA and America First movement. I think we just got to have some thicker skin. We're in the middle of a range war. Who the hell knows what else? I mean, I could see a scenario, and I laid that out. I could see a scenario where blowing up the oil infrastructure of the entire Middle East oil industry is a significant and maybe death blow to the petrodollar and the rules-based order that Henry Kissinger instituted so many generations ago. You could also see a scenario where President Trump cut a deal with the Gucci Bedouins to bring their money, you know, their gains to America and invest in America. And they told the Gucci Bedouins, hey, you come invest your cash with us or you're going to end up with nothing. And, you know, I'm just saying, there are a bunch of things that could be going. I don't know. How do I know what's going on? Really? We don't know. But what it appears to me is that President Trump is breaking the rules-based order, but he's bringing in the technocracy. And I just get this sense. I'm 35 years old on the 10th, on Friday, 35 years old, now eligible to run for president, by the way. We'll get the U.S. Senate first. But it's President Trump's duty to break the rules-based order, because that was like the beating heart of the MAGA movement. The working class, the American working class has propped up the entire world's security since after World War. Our currency has been inflated, deflated, crushed, devalued, and everything else in between. Because of this rules-based order, you know, what you would call globalism, the globalist agenda. President Trump could, in fact, the crowning jewel of President Trump's legacy is hanging in the balance right now. He could, in fact, deal a death blow to the rules-based order. But we've already started to bring in the technocracy. I contend that it's on my generation to break the technocracy, not President Trump. It's on me. It's on me and the Fishbacks and all these other candidates who are of the younger generation in America to fight, to inform, to educate, and eventually break the technocracy. That's not on President Trump. And you could see a scenario where they may have come to him. Maybe they, you know, they pressured him and said, you know, hey, we'll give you, we'll let America run things. But you're going to let us bring this technocracy in. The technocracy and look, it's the AI, it's the nuclear, it's the data centers. It's scary as hell. We're going to let robots teach kids. But even that, and I just have to be honest, even that, you put that on President Trump, you got to take a look in the mirror. We all love our iPhones. We all love the Apple updates. We all love being on the grid. The grid is fun. The grid is great. The grid is more convenient than ever. We love it. We love the connectivity. We love social media. We love porn. We love, you know, being able to FaceTime. You know, my girlfriend, she's on a vacation, a girl's trip down to Miami. She's probably cheating on me, but, you know, that's another story for another day. We love it. We love all of it. We love being able to get our, you know, packages brought right to our front door. It's great. And there is some utility to it. I'm not going to say that it's not convenient, but it comes with a cost. And I had a gentleman come up to me, a Catholic gentleman come up to me at the Republican event this weekend, and he asked me about porn and the morality of porn. And he says, would you be in favor of restricting pornography? And I said, well, it matters how. I said, if it comes attached to a digital ID or social credit score, my definitive answer is no. And so we got into this entire philosophical argument about what's the chronological, sequential, or hierarchical nature of priorities when it comes to the law or government. You know, is it the moral or is it liberty? Because you can have liberty can be immoral. Freedom can be immoral. Government regulation can also be immoral. But if you had everything you wanted, which one would come first? Obviously, the moral would come first. But when it can, or if it can, and in this case, in our country today, in our culture today, the moral can't come first because we're so immoral. Will we substitute our liberty for security, even the security of false sense of security, that we're improving the moral? These are, I mean, these are just very significant questions we have to answer as a culture. It's like, I'm not willing to get, I'm not willing to give the government unlimited surveillance, take a digital ID to eradicate pornography. That, I mean, and maybe you feel the opposite. Maybe you feel that people should live under a fair degree of surveillance and a restriction of their freedom of movement and their freedom of speech and their freedom of expression and everything else in between in order to correct the moral. See, but again, that's just the arguments that we're going to have. And those are the real arguments, right? So even Israel is, Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, I'm more like, let's talk about the fundamentals. But hey, I get it. Because even there's a little bit of fundamental in these conversations about foreign policy. Certainly, that's another part of the MAGA movement. Another strong pillar of the MAGA movement was a repudiation of foreign policy, at least trade, but certainly NATO and the Europeans who seem not to want to fight or contribute in the Middle East. All of the energy implications really fall back on them. These things are somewhat fundamental. And even the fundamental question is like, where do your loyalties lie? Do they lie with America or Israel? I saw a clip, and it was of Laura Loomer. I know Laura Loomer. I've known her for many years. It was since 2022, I was first introduced to her, and she was running for Congress. I was running for Congress. There was a young cohort of candidates all across the country connected by people who, you know, want to support. And I've known Laura Loomer for a while. I've always liked Laura personally. Disagree with some of her points of view, and I've communicated that to her. I said, hey, Laura, I think you're dead wrong on this. I think you're dead wrong on that. She's always been nice in responding and said, hey, you know, this is where I'm at on this issue. Never been disrespectful, like, hey, you're stupid, you know, ignorant fool. She's like, nah, this is what I think. So she's much more reasonable behind the scenes than she comes across on the internet, which is true of a lot of people, most of us, right? Just, some of this is entertainment. But the ideas are fundamental, and they should be real. Point being, I saw a clip of Laura and her, I think it was her and Randy Fine, and they made the argument that people who are opposed to dual citizenship are only saying it because they oppose Jews having dual citizenship with Israel. And I found that to be kind of personally offensive because I am in a staunch opposition of all dual citizenship, all dual citizenship. And it's not specifically about Jews or Israel. I feel the same way about dual citizenship with the UK, with China, with Japan, with Ghana, South Africa, wherever the dual citizenship should come to a screeching halt. Same way I feel about birthright citizenship in the Dignity Act. You know, it's like, is it amnesty or not? It depends on how we do it. Number one, dual citizenship out. It's not just about the Jews or Israel. Now, if there was a preponderance of dual citizenship individuals from a specific country in government or in key positions all across the most important domains or sectors of our society, then it's right for people to ask questions about their loyalty. That's not anti-Semitic. Come on. You know, if President Barack Obama was elected again in some, you know, okay, let's use Jasmine Unbelievable Crockett. If Jasmine Crockett becomes president and she hired all HBCU graduates to key positions across the government, and then you saw like a proliferation of HBCU black graduates to come from this, you know, this one school, Morehouse. Don't mean to pick on you, Morehouse, but I'm just, you know, it's just an example. Anyone would do. Then all of a sudden you look up and people are like, whoa, all of these black graduates, all these black women graduates from Morehouse are getting key strategic positions across all these, you know, sectors of society. What's going on there? It's not racist. That's like, what's going on there? And even furthermore, is that a good thing? Is that okay? Is that good for our country? Now, even there, it's a little different because if black women were DEI selected to key positions across multiple sectors of society, they would at least still be American citizens. depending on, you know, how you look at it. If you're a communist, you're a communist. I mean, you could be an American, you could be an Israeli, you could be a Chinese, you could be Russian, you could be anything in between. If you're a communist, you're a communist. Your citizenship starts to become secondary, in my opinion, but I'm a little radical. At least in the theory, those, you know, DEI black women would be American citizens. If they were from Russia, we would have a problem with it. If they were from South America, if they were from Turkey, if they were from India, if they were from Israel, we have a problem with dual citizenship. Period, point blank, full stop. There shouldn't be any dual citizenship. I just don't believe in it. And it's, you know, apropos to this birthright citizenship, like these are the real issues. Birthright citizenship. And you can never take anything the left says, but with a grain of salt. Every issue, they will morph and change. They'll become, you know, pro-constitution. They'll become, you know, pro-sanctity of life. They'll become whatever they need to be to play the cards that they have to get their agenda through and to win the court of public opinion to justify stolen elections. That's what the left is good at. That's what the communists and the Marxists are great at. How do I know? I came up in a Marxist and communist neighborhood. I know what the philosophy is. I know what the strategy is. They lie. They'll lie. They'll become anybody they need to. They're chameleonic. They'll dress up like a woman to make it into a woman's bathroom. And, you know, this is who they are. It's not coincidence, right? Birthright citizenship, perfect example. Anytime the Second Amendment comes up, they're willing to amend and change the scope of the constitutional law. They're willing to reinterpret the Constitution to change the Second Amendment, to restrict your gun rights, which is a great tale. Because it's like, if you're so worried about fascism and tyranny or totalitarianism and President Trump being the second iteration of Adolf Hitler, why would you tell American citizens to give their guns up? That's dumb. I mean, I know, and here's the dark part. I don't think that's them being completely dishonest. I think there is a significant thread of people on the left who would like to bring about, who would like to see a totalitarian fascist dictatorship truly come about in this country so they could play the victim, secular humanist martyr in that political reality. And that's why they're willing to give their guns up. I mean, they really want to be the Palestine open-air prison where they're throwing rocks at the tanks. I don't know. Maybe they think that's romantic or a righteous way to die. It may be righteous for a Palestinian, and I'm not making a claim about Palestine, but I'm just saying it may be righteous for somebody who was genuinely stripped of their gun rights. But if you forfeit your gun rights to fulfill the role, to do some sort of weird method acting as a far-left-leaning social justice martyr, there's no glory in that. You're just a cuck. You're a punk. You're a coward is what you are. You're weird. You're weird, but you're also a punk and a cuck. And we're just not going to do it. We're not going to budge on the Second Amendment at all, or we shouldn't at least. Birthright citizenship? Far different. See, and this is where conservatives get into this intellectual highbrow back and forth. Stay with me here. This is where conservatives have either played the control opposition or we ourselves suffer from real lack of testicular fortitude. We want to get into this intellectual highbrow back and forth. Oh, no. No, we do want to keep the Constitution. The Constitution can't be. We want to play all sides at once. It's become a plague in this movement, in this party. No, it's not that the Constitution can't be amended. It's what we're amending and why. This is the distinction to make. The very reasonable and logical distinction is the Constitution was always intended to be amended. The question is what amendments and why? What things are fundamental, more fundamental in the hierarchy of priority and the hierarchy of citizenship and freedom and liberty, the things that are spelled out in our founding documents, which things are more important than others? The right to bear arms shall not be infringed for a reason, because we have in the back of our mind a genetic and historical memory of tyranny. We know that tyranny is always right around the corner. We don't know if it's coming from the left, from the right, from the top, from the bottom. We don't know where the tyranny is coming from, but it's always right there. And that's why the Second Amendment shall not be infringed upon. apropos to what's going on in Iran. Hey, we thought the Iranians were going to rise up and throw off the mullahs. And how are they going to do that? The Iranian people are like, we may have wanted to revolt, but we don't have any guns. That's what we now. There's reports that we're dropping off crates of guns to the Iranians to try. Well, why didn't we help? I mean, the trade. All of these countries. I don't think there are many countries that are part of the post World War II Democrat liberal order that we have given a suppository of Second Amendment laws. Just look across the board. All of the countries that we subsidize all around the world. Show me a handful of them that have a firm and strong Second Amendment. Not many. And I don't think it's by accident that we didn't make the Second Amendment a priority as we went around the world and built nations. I just don't see that as coincidence. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist. It's possible. But I do not think people who were as smart to create the real politic of the petrodollar overlooked the importance of the Second Amendment. I mean, if you believe that, then, you know, God bless you. God bless you. And maybe all of us here on InfoWars, maybe we're just the conspiracy theorist types, right? But come on. I mean, it's like you can build an atom bomb. You can send a man to the moon. We're going to go to Mars next. Real politic has everybody connected to a petrodollar world financial system. But you couldn't give the countries guns that would actually make them self-determining on a fundamental level. That dog don't hunt, as my grandfather used to say. That dog just don't hunt. Birthright citizenship, much more negotiable than the Second Amendment, especially when a recent president of the United States let in 15 million illegal foreign invaders. That would be the relative, the time relative justification to amend all matters regarding immigration or foreign invaders because of the crisis. Well, the left doesn't see that as a crisis, so of course that wouldn't bear any weight on the birthright citizenship issue, which we should just disregard. We don't even have to argue about it. You people are stupid. You don't believe in having a country. You don't believe in a border. I know it makes us feel, you know, it makes us feel vulnerable because it may actually be that over 50% of this country truly believes we shouldn't have a border. That makes us scared. We're afraid. We're afraid because of the heresy of democracy. Heresy. I've said it on the show many times. If you listened, you've heard me say it before. I'm writing a book now, The Four Heresies of the West. Scientific method, democracy, computer technology, artificial intelligence. Why? When you say heresies of the West, what do you mean, Royce? Why do you call them heresies? They all, each one individually was an attempt for man to bridge the gap between himself and God. It's heresy. Heretics. The scientific method ain't going to bridge the gap between us and God. Democracy sure as hell isn't. Computer technology is only going to make it worse. It's only going to make us ruminate on the fact that we can't be God. And artificial intelligence is going to become a God for us, but not a God of the universe. Okay? Doesn't work. Not only is it heresy, it's ineffective. Right? Democracy. The heresy of democracy is to believe that all majorities are made equal and righteous. They're not. All majorities are not equal, and they sure as hell aren't righteous. But we're obsessed with democracy. This is the top issue. When you poll Democrats right now in Minnesota, you ask people on the left, what are your top issues? The threat to democracy. It's like democracy is the threat to democracy. Democracy is the real threat to democracy. Democrats and the Democratic Party is the real threat to democracy. You 60%, let's just say 60%, we're going to throw you over there. Maybe there's a 20% we can shave off that will see the logic that we shouldn't put men in women's prisons. Maybe, but yeah, push comes to shove. Hey, the porn is good. The drugs and the video games are good, like Yuval Noah Harari said. It's all good. It's all good. You know, do as thou wilt. So anything's permitted when you don't have God at the center of your worldview. Anything's permitted. There are no rules. The rules are there are no rules. We have a rules-based order, an international rules-based order, but the real rule is there are no rules. Birthright citizenship. the Dignity Act. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I say, if I was in the Senate right now, I'd say you need a 10-year moratorium on all immigration, all of it. Okay, we want to limit the scope of the first of all, I don't like when they say there's no way we're getting out 25 million illegal immigrants. Well, what's the low number then? Don't give me the high number and clump it all in. What's the low number? Because we sure as hell are getting out the 10 to 15 million that came in under the Joe Biden administration. That's non-negotiable. The 10 to 15 million have to go, or at least every last one of them we can possibly get. The aim has to, the mission objective, the mission parameters have to be, we're starting off at 15 million. If we want to limit the scope just to the Joe Biden administration, I understand that. I don't agree in principle, but I agree as a matter of practical application. Sure. Let's limit the scope to the 15 that came in under Joe Biden's administration. Fine. But it is 15 million, and we're going to be getting out the 15 million. And if you say that there's a four-year window, you're already, you know, if you've been here for 4 years, more than 4 or 5 years, then you have legal status and there are all these things you can do, all these check marks to find a path to citizenship. You know, in principle, I don't agree, but we have to get out the 10 to 15 million illegal foreign invaders. We just have to do it. Almost whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we got to get those people out. A way to actually put some teeth to this Dignity Act would be, we need a 10-year moratorium. While we are committed to and make a priority of getting all of these illegal foreign invaders out, or as many as we can, the 10 to 15 million, we need a 10-year moratorium on immigration. And I think the number should be 10 years. If you've been here longer than 10 years, we'll grant you, if you haven't committed a crime or fraud, right? A crime, fraud, any of these things up and down the line, we'll give you a legal status and lay out a path for you to become a citizen. You've been here longer than 10 years, not five, 10. Coincide 10-year moratorium on all immigration. That's what I would say. But we're not in agreement on that. We're not even close. We're not even close. There are people who just say, we can't get out 25 million illegal immigrants. We got to find a way to keep them, to assimilate them. So how the hell is that working out here in Minneapolis? Is that work? Is America's immigration system a shining paragon of assimilation and effectiveness? No. No, it's not, because the people who oversee the immigration don't value American citizenship or culture. They don't even want us to have a country. So why would they place any premium whatsoever on ensuring that people actually assimilate when they immigrate? They're not going to do it. You know, birthright citizenship, letting a million tourism visa Chinese nationals get citizenship is just another way for them to circumvent us having a border. And we all know it. Birthright citizenship. It's all connected, though. I say that, and people kind of like, oh, no, you're tight. That's a reach. It's not a reach. It's all connected. It's all connected. The global affects the local and vice versa. We have a crisis of national identity and culture. The reason why we believe in fighting a war a world away is because the entire bedrock of American identity is to project strength, power all around the world. That's become our default. That's the default of our, not freedom and liberty and the rule of law profound intellectual insight. None of those things have any real punch for the American identity and culture anymore. It's all based on if we can continue to be the global dollar empire we've been. And again, I said President Trump makes a few key decisions here. He could deliver a death blow to the rules-based order. Or maybe we just are doing Israel's bidding. I don't know. Time will tell. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I hope you're enjoying the show this evening. I hope I'm not being too crazy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylenestore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless.